in Sahih al-Bukhari, there is a hadith. Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu is the narrator of this hadith. And Hazrat Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that my and your link connection is such, for the whole ummah this message was delivered by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so this is for each and every ummati, and especially in this day and age, in this day and age, this is clear for this day and age, this is directly relevant to this day and age, that we, how we make the connection with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that what link do we have today with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So just like you have a big fire that's burning, the fire's burning, it's glowing, the light is spreading, and in that fire you have the moths, you know, that fly around, and you have the things that are flying around, they melt and break up and fall into that fire. The light, which is attraction, they're running to the attraction, to the light, and they're burning in that light and the heat of the fire. And somebody's taking them out, trying to take them out. So here, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, my link with you, O my ummah, is the same. In that I, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm grabbing you from your backs, grabbing you from your collars, your necks, and dragging you back from Jahannam. I'm grabbing you from your shoulders and your backs and pulling you out of Jahannam. And I'm stopping you from those actions which will take you and burn you in hellfire. I'm stopping you from those actions that will take you to hellfire, but you still want to run into that hellfire. You still want to run into the hellfire. How shafiq and loving and caring and merciful, rahmatul lil alameen, was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That he was ra'ufur rahim, he was so merciful and loving and gentle for all the mu'mineen. He had so much pain and hurt for his ummah, and he had a link and love for his ummah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loved every one of his ummatis. He had so much care and affection and a relationship, a bond that he wanted to make stronger. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so loving, so caring, so gentle, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put so much barakah and link and connection in the personality of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam along with his ummah, between him and his ummah. That once a person, once if a person says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that if he just has a small link in that he hears the name and says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how long does it say to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This is Darood Sharif, isn't it? Just say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say it. Just imagine a short statement. And what and who is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Such a blessed personality that if we recite and send one durood on Rasulullah just like this, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we make a connection, then suddenly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon that person sends 10 mercies on that person. 10 mercies. Imagine how easy, simple, and creating a link with who? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was so loving and caring and blessed. Just on this action, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sending durood, Allah will give 10 mercies to that person. Allah will eliminate 10 sins from that person's record books. 10 sins. About which Rasulullah said, I stop you from the actions that take to a person to hellfire. But you don't stop. You keep running into that fire. You keep running into that fire. So Allah Ta'ala will allow 10 rahmah, 10 rahmas to descend onto that person in Ramadan. Guaranteed. Guaranteed rahmah's mercy in Ramadan on that person who sends durood. And 10 sins will be removed from his deeds, and 10 levels he will be increased in paradise. Not dunya, 10 levels he will increase in paradise. In Jannah, in paradise, his level will increase 10 times. And 10 good deeds will be written to his name. Tell me, brothers. Tell me, how much, how extreme is the rahmah of Allah and Rasulullah, how much love he had for his ummah. And Rasulullah said that the link, the person who keeps the link with the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the answer straight away comes, the love, the reply for the love comes straight away. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said a beautiful thing, that I am stopping you from those actions that lead to Jahannam. I am stopping you for your benefit, the things that I've told you, my advices, my nasiha. Those actions that I tell you to refrain from will lead you into hellfire. And until Qiyamah, until Judgment Day, Allah Ta'ala has prepared this same system, that these ahadith, all the ahadith of Rasulullah, they are just like Rasulullah physically stopping us when he was physically alive, and Allah Ta'ala has kept the hadith existent till the Day of Judgment, that they are teachings for us. Every hadith gives the same message. Don't do this action. This is bad. This is good. Do we stop? Do we listen? Do we read? We make excuses, we run away, we criticize, we look down upon, we take points out of the hadith, we present our feeble excuses. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that, is this an excuse? Feeble, bone idle excuses for not listening to his advices. The beautiful hadith is coming to my mind about Durood Sharif. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the person who does my dhikr, yes, if my name is mentioned in a gathering and a person doesn't send durood upon me, in other words, he doesn't say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he has betrayed me. Imagine, that person's betrayed me. That, can anyone find such a friend like me? Can anyone find such a friend like me who will love you, who will have affection for you? Never will you find, nor can you find ever in the world. So this, think here for a few moments, that this is really the truth, isn't it? This is genuine, that those people who are ashiks, who are lovers of Allah, and they become beloveds of Allah, and they listen to the words and advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who listen to the sayings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, somehow the hadith gets to them through a majlis, through a gathering, they embrace the hadith. They embrace the hadith that my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told me, leave this action. I shouldn't do this action. Shouldn't look for excuses. Shouldn't look to run away. Don't look for any reason to go away or astray from the hadith. Not always too hard for me, it's too difficult for me, etc. No. Straight away, hear the hadith. Hear the order of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hear the statements of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Especially nowadays in Ramadan, we're in such an environment, and to save oneself from sin is a big, big deed. Allah Ta'ala is displeased when a person does sins. And those people who implement the advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and especially those who send durood on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they understand that on reciting one durood, you get so many roods, then that mad person it will be who will try to grab these treasures of sending durood. So the people, then they run after the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have desires that we want also Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to love us. As a Shah Wali Allah, Delwi, Rahmatullah alayhi, great Sheikh. Great Sheikh, great Wali, Shah Wali Allah Delwi. Rahmatullah about him, Hazrat Madani Rahmatullah Alayh has given a narration, an event through Hazrat Mirza Mazar Janijana Rahmatullah Alayh, who was a great Sheikh of the Naqshbandi Silsila, and his mazar, his grave is in Delhi. In Delhi. So he writes, Hazrat Madani Rahmatullah Alayh, he narrates this event, that he was a Wali of Allah, Hazrat Shah Wali Allah Delwi Rahmatullah, and Hazrat Mirza Mazhar Jani Jana Rahmatullah, both were Walis of Allah. And he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed me to travel spiritually around the whole world. So Hazrat Mirza Jani Jana says that I had a spiritual journey around the whole world. Hazrat Madani Rahmatullah is narrating this. He wrote this. He said the whole world, universe, Allah ta'ala spiritually allowed me to travel. And he was insan and we are insan. What's the difference? The difference is that what Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to stop, he stopped. He refrained from those actions. So we are just running after food and drink and enjoyment. But let's look at what is the real objective of our life. Arguing in life, fitna, fasad, the quarrels, disputes. All of these things, these elders of ours, pious predecessors, had no interest in arguments and quarrels and fitna and fasad and groups. No, Allah Ta'ala elevated the rank in this world. So imagine his spiritual journey around the world. Yes, so he's written that I travel around the world spiritually. And what a unique point he writes that. Why? Nowhere, wherever I went when I was traveling, in no place did I see anyone who had the status of Shah Wali Allah Dehlvi rahmatullahi. Imagine how much his status was at that time. As a Mirza, Mirza Jani Jani rahmatullahi, is writing this, that in my travels I saw no one who had the status of Hazrat Shah Wali Allah. And Hazrat Shah Wali Allah rahmatullahi wrote in one of his kitabs, in his writing, he said that Nabi Al-Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam's, when I sent durood on him, Hazrat Shah Wali Allah is writing this, that Rasulullah liked it when I sent durood on him. These were his mushahidat, his personal experience on the result of his durood. And he wrote that for us to read, and we can learn from this. So how many times we've recited durood? How many chances we get? We don't understand at this moment in time what is durood and how Allah was merciful to Hazrat Shah Wali Allah rahmatullah. Imagine how much mercy is this, how many treasures and rewards Allah must have given to him. He said, when I recite durood, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is happy, and he demonstrates his happiness, and he gives insharah that within me, my spiritual state becomes even more full of light and nur. Just one durood, he says, I said. The Rasulullah is happy, and that within me, the light of nur, it burns even hotter and brighter. And he says that within myself, I'm shining and glowing and burning. The iman is burning hot. SubhanAllah. Imagine how pious he was. He said that Rasulullah is happy with my durood. My iman gets a lift and it's enhanced. And then he himself comes. SubhanAllah. I do the ziyarah. And then I recite durood again. So this, my brothers, Allah Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to create a link with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a person, when he sends durood, he gets a lot of rewards and rank. Another Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi states, Hazrat Razi rahmatullahi, that these are the people who had the link and connection with the Prophet ﷺ, with love and with their deeds. They make such a good deed, they practice good deeds. These people went to Medina, just like we go to Medina, but look at the difference between them and us. We go and we run after dates and water and buy this and buy that. So what did they attain when they went to Medina? Think about it. Yeah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to the walis who are close to Allah. Allah ta'ala gives them so much within short space of time. And we, when we go, we buy items and products, and they bring other things back with them. Today, I can give you an event. True, honest event. Just a few days ago. Just a few days ago. Yeah, this silsila isn't finished. But we have closed our eyes and blindfolded ourselves. So Hazrat Shah Razi rahmatullahi said that I went from Makkah to Medina and he was hungry, severely hungry. And his father was with him and he was a bit upset. The children would cry. And he was a great wali, his father. And he had a link with Rasulullah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, when we reached to Medina, when we got there, what happened? That there was no other assistance. He said, I saw my father. He was in Masjid al-Nabwi. He went into Maraqaba. He started to do dhikr. And he presented to Rasulullah his request. That Ya Rasulullah, that we're in a very bad situation. We're hungry, very hungry. And he was speaking his Maraqaba. And after a while he opened his eyes and he was crying and he was laughing at the same time. Smiling and he was crying. He said, Abaji, my father, why are you crying and you're smiling? What's happened in a few moments? He said that just now Rasulullah came to my vision, and in my fist he put some money, and he opened his fist and there was money in his fist. Subhanallah. He said, Shiraz, that time, look at the journey at that time to Haramain. He said, from that time until the end, our wealth never finished. And this was his father. Even, mashallah, he said that the life was full of faqa, there was poverty, for a few days hadn't eaten. And he said from his own mouth, mashallah, and what the events that happened with him. And he never made it apparent, never showed off. And this, just subhanallah, he said it smiling in a majlis and people grabbed it. He said, not this, you have to have a big gathering and announce things and show your link. And there were some special brothers there. And in that majlis, my Shaykh Hazrat laughed and smiled and said this event. And the people that quote these events, these stories, because the events that happened with Hazrat, mashallah, they used to spread, distribute them at times to people so they could benefit. So my Shaykh said, once I was lying down and I was hungry for some days, quite some days. Imagine how many days it must have passed, he hadn't eaten. He said, I was lying down in Masjid Nabwi. This is my Shaykh, Hazrat Ali Murtaza Rahmatullah. He said, I was lying down, I was severely hungry. I didn't even have the energy that I could present, because I didn't want to disrespect Allah and His Rasul. And even this adab, Even this is adab. To present your request is good, but some people have so much love and respect for Rasulullah and Allah that why should we pester them? Why should we give them pain? He said, my eyes were closed, I was lying down severely hungry. My eyes open suddenly. And subhanAllah, imagine the situation, the scene. He said, my eyes open, and I opened my fist and there was a rial in my hand. He said, in my life passed, but I'm still seeing the barakah of that rial up till the end. SubhanAllah. Even now, he said, I'm seeing the benefit of the rial. There was a family recently went on Umrah. There was a little girl along with them, 4 or 5 months old, daughter. And the family was a good family. They had a link, good link with Allah and His Rasul, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With Allah and His Rasul. Good, pious people. Must be good if I think about it. So, the child, they would take her, the daughter, for ziyarah to the Rawza Mubarak. And there was, mashallah, in front of the jali, in front of the fence, the Rawda, they were doing salam, and the child was there, the daughter. She would look as well, she had a lot of love as well, maybe just a few years old. And everyone would said, walk, you know, go back, whoever was there would allow them to come and do salam. Beautiful event in such a rush. And what happened, they said one day, that the daughter, she was there, and she's there in front of the Rawda, in front of the fence. And there was a few men there. You know the shurta, you know the guards who are there. There's three of them, not just one, three. Yeah, just like in Ghari Thawr, there was three. Allah, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. And Allah said, I'm with you as well, to make three. In the same way, there's three in it, guards. So they said, what happened suddenly? The ajeeb, unique event occurred. They said, somebody came and had a lot of notes and put them into the hand of the daughter and went off. The world was amazed when they saw this, the Alhamdulillah. What love. And Rasulullah liked that girl. And he didn't send her away empty-handed. So this was the connection due to the love. They had some practice on sunnah, isn't it? So there's acceptance. These aren't stories, this is reality. This is reality. We have to be pushed from behind, reminded, come on, come on. And when we're there doing salam, we're pushed from behind. Come on, move along, move along. But when there's love, there's acceptance. The barakah of the Durood Sharif. Even this sinner has seen the barakah of the Durood Sharif. I used to recite the Durood Sharif there in Madinatul Munawwara. And I was amazed. Until today, I remember this. So, in the rush. And it was hard to pass through to get to the Rawza and Ramadan. Lots of rush. Quite some years ago. And suddenly, I remembered one Durood Sharif, that this Durood Sharif, Rasulullah stated that the person who recites this Durood, he gets close to me. He gets close to me. So I thought, let me use this Durood. Maybe I'm in the rush here. Maybe this will be beneficial to me. Such a beautiful point. As soon as I recited that Durood, wallahi, straight away I would be in front of the Rawda Mubarak. Straight away. Rasulullah would drag me there. So this is the shafqat, the love. This is the hadith, I'm telling you the reality. That I am stopping you from those actions that are taking you to hellfire. And the Durood Sharif is such an action, recitation, it would bring a person close to me. So I thought, why don't I get close to Rasulullah here? And I'd be safe from this rush, people pushing and shoving. And I can't get close. And this is not amazing. This is barakah of the Durood Sharif. This is reality. So I recited that Durood. I was far. I was struggling. And the path was open for me to get to the Rawda Mubarak. You know the rush of Ramadan. So many people. Very difficult. And straight I would get in front of the Rawda Mubarak at that time. SubhanAllah. So, these are big points. Mushahidat, the experience of people, pious predecessors, people we know, ourselves. And Rasulullah said, if you follow my sunnah, you will get a lot. You will get a lot. We get scared upon this. Oh, leave this action. This is a dirty action. It's giving you a bit of taste and enjoyment. Don't do this sin. Rasulullah said, I don't like this. It might give you temporary enjoyment, but still you run to the sin and still you run into Jahannam, to the hellfire. And we do that action. So here, this gathering, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have come, I have come, we're all sitting here. And the words that come and we discuss are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what's the maqsad here? The objective of us being here is to save ourselves from the fire of Jahannam. Rasulullah said, this is what I've left for you, the hadith, the statements, the words, the actions of Rasulullah. In the hadith, we need to read and learn. That's why we are benefiting if we come to the gathering. But otherwise, if we're leaving the hadith and the advice of Rasulullah and we don't send the durood when we hear his name, then we are betraying him and his personality. Brothers, those people who are coming to these majalis, the gatherings, we're getting special mercies. Especially those things we learn, the Rasulullah said, I'm telling you certain things so you are safe from hellfire, but still you want to run and burn. So when we realize that some things are sin, then understand it as the worst sin. As the biggest thing, if Rasulullah has said something from his blessed statement, words, that don't do this action, then don't do that action. If Rasulullah has said, recite Durood Sharif, if you don't say Durood behind my name, then you are betraying me. Hazrat Shah Wali Allah Dil bin Hamd said, on reciting one Durood, my iman burnt even stronger within me. And this is not a small thing, reciting Durood, brothers. Sending Durood, great reward. 10 rahmas of Allah on sending Durood. Imagine one rahmah of Allah. If Allah sends one rahmah, the whole universe right now is existing due to one rahmah of Allah. So imagine what are 10 rahmas of Allah. If we recite Durood, we get 10 rahmas. How his life will be elevated, increased with barakat and blessings. So on reciting one Durood, you get 10 mercies of Allah. 10 sins are forgiven. 10 levels you will increase in Jannah. And 10 good deeds to the name, to your book of deeds, to your record. So this ajiz, this sinner, has told you about Durood today. Reciting Durood Sharif. Look from your eyes while you're standing there. Everything is being given to us within seconds. MashaAllah, enjoyment and rewards through the Durood Sharif. And MashaAllah, I'm very cautious that how Rasulullah has given us a beautiful Durood, that if we have, want to create a proper link and connection with Rasulullah, that just like he drags us to his Rawda Mubarak, then imagine there in the hereafter, he will drag us away from hellfire and take us towards paradise. Beautiful examples. So we should try to save ourselves from the sins. I should save myself, you should save yourself. We should all save ourselves. Let's get away from the sins. When Rasulullah has defined an action as a sin, then it's definitely a sin. Behind every sin is fire. Is fire. If we don't feel the fire here, that this will happen, we will burn. If Rasulullah says, take things out of your home that will give you fire in the hereafter, then why don't we listen? Why don't the barakats come to our homes, to our houses? We have illnesses, problems, fighting, quarreling, disputes. What's the reason for this? This is Allah's choice. Somebody has more of a test in life, someone has more of a problem in life. Allah Ta'ala then also gives reward to those people according to their difficulties. Some people have an easy life, someone has a good wife. Okay, let's do this. Yeah, let's do this. Both husband and wife hand in hand, and the children, they're all hand in hand. And in some homes, there's destruction. There are storms are brewing. This isn't happening. There's divorce. If you don't do this, I'm going to leave you, she says or he says. The children are rebels. This also happens in households. So why are the opposites and poles apart? But we can't understand Allah Ta'ala's hikmahs. Allah Ta'ala said, I wanted you to have this in your destiny, to have the difficulties and the problems. Allah Ta'ala knows why this is, and a person shouldn't doubt Allah if he's got problems or leave the deen or be weak in deen. Rather, he should keep running back to Allah. Allah, you wanted me to have this in my life, you preferred these situations and obstacles in our family home, and Allah, this is your hikmah, and I'll run back to you. Don't think that everyone can have the same system, no problems, no worries, no difficulties, no obstacles, no hurdles. No, when Allah Ta'ala gives deen to people, he gives them all in different ways and different circumstances. And we have to overcome those hurdles. If we want to attain Jannah, this is just a few days this life. We've got a few problems, overcome the hurdles. Don't become arrogant and stubborn. Allah's giving me problems, I'm running away from Islam and Allah. No. If Allah Ta'ala says, I'm giving you something, then take it and embrace it with love. Allah Ta'ala is the greatest, and his Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the greatest, and his love for the Ummah was the greatest, and there was no one greater than him as a guide for mankind. There was no one greater than him who loved the people, the mankind. That Rasulullah Sallam doesn't leave even his beloved people hungry in Medina, he gives them money and sends them back. Subhanallah. So in the Akhirah, how will he leave us? How will he not want us to be saved from hellfire? Subhanallah. So whatever situations come in our life, somebody has an easy life, somebody has a hard life, somebody has a medium type life, somebody has an excessive life problems, somebody is healthy, somebody is ill and he has to practice, somebody is so tight and he hasn't got money, somebody is living the life of poverty and debt, he hasn't got a job, he's unemployed, he's got problems and persecution, and somebody is opposite. Totally opposite. So we have to understand, we have to overcome all the hurdles with the love, affection, and with courage and determination and with du'as. This is Allah, I am going to do this, I'm going to follow your deen because you've instructed us to do this. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that there will be a big betrayal of my personality. You've got iman, you've got Quran due to my sadaqah, due to my personality. Who did we get Quran due to? Rasulullah Sallam. So if we practice the sunnah, are we doing a favor to Rasulullah? If we are impersonating the Prophet, don't think it's our choice. There's a big, massive reward behind this, on top of the benefits of the hereafter. To keep a connection with Rasulullah, every action of the sunnah, don't think that there is nothing you're going to get in reply. Allah says, the minimum reward we will get for practicing the sunnah is paradise. The minimum reward, The min Nimrud. I'm not telling you hadith, I'm telling you from my own personal experience. The minimum, most lowest reward, thawab, a person will get for implementing sunnah in this world will be Jannah, paradise. And the thawab beyond that, we cannot imagine. We cannot imagine. So have love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, brothers. So is this a favor we're doing on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? We're practicing sunnah. Oh, I've done a big favor for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I've fired an arrow on the bullseye. No, no, no. Ask those people, I swear by Allah. Ask those people. Look at history. The history of our pious predecessors. Our minds, akal, could become mad if we understand the reality of those individuals in history. What people they were, such lofty status they had, such lofty rank, who in their lives they gave up all of their time and their efforts to make a connection with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Such effort and struggle. They had no clothes to wear, no food to eat, no bread to eat, no limit to their struggles. They had nothing from far, you could say, that they had. That muflisi, poverty, enmity, people persecuted them, difficulties, they were murdered, beaten, trodden upon, bad situation, nothing in the home, no furniture, no food, no clothes, nothing, nothing. From the Ahlul Bayt to the Sahaba Ikram, every one of them had nothing, dunya. And Allahu Akbar, such love, such a connection with Rasulullah ﷺ, that if for a second they felt that if we cannot see the face of Rasulullah ﷺ, we felt like we had died. This was the feeling. That so much passion, so much love, that can there be anyone like this who was born after them in the world who loved Rasulullah ﷺ after the blessed noble Sahaba and the Ahlul Bayt? And now we have to fast just for a few hours. For half a day, 20 hours, 20 day, 20 hours, 18 hours. After that we sleep. We sleep 10 of those 18 hours. We keep sleeping through the day and snoring and resting. Is this a miracle for us? Is this a big deal? After that we say, so difficult, I can't even recite a durood. One durood, this is the barakah of this majlis that we do dhikr and recite durood sharif. This time, otherwise people are so tired, their fuses are blown. By 8 p.m, 9 p.m, people are arguing at home. Oh, what are you cooking? What's being made today? Oh, I fasted all day. It's hot, I'm sweating, I'm struggling. We argue with each other. SubhanAllah. Think about this. What the struggle. Huh? Here in the world, one event takes place. It's severe thirst and hunger. And after that, the announcement made, they came from one expedition, one journey, severe hunger and thirst. Their lips are dry and parched. And straightway the announcement was made, we got to go again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen. This was the barakah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yes, the love pulls on the mu'mins, pulls on the mu'mins. So these are the points, brothers. Make a connection, make a link. Allah's given us a massive, massive mercy that we all are sitting here today as ummatis. We are the members of what? The great ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have the exclusive membership. Allah's opened the route for us. Has Allah Ta'ala not given us this membership? Beautiful path. Beautiful path. And what's the best way to repay this? By following and practicing the sunnahs, brothers. You're going home. Think that how did Rasulullah ﷺ enter into his home? What did he give us as a guidance? This is sunnah. Enter into the home in the same way. When you go home and it's dinner time, after entering in the home, the sunnah way, what's the first thing to do? We go straight away, oh, stuffing our mouths. No, first go in the house and say salam. Say salam, we can't even do this. Think, imagine. We can't even practice the sunnah. That when you enter in the home, do the dua. After doing the dua, then say assalamu alaikum. Even once I experienced the barakah of this dua, of entering the home, I saw the scene. I saw the scene. When I used to study, pray salah, I'm giving you these stories for taqwa. This is not kashf or miracles, astaghfirullah. Think I'm showing you kashf karama. This is not miracle. This is the barakah of sunnah. Yes, then you see these things in dreams. Everyone has good dreams. So what I saw, I'm telling you, this is not kashf or vision or karamat or miracles. I'm a wali Allah and I'm pious. And another fitwa starts, people say afterwards, oh look, he's telling people kashf in his bayans and karamat and miracles. No. Just a personal experience. I'm humble and low. I'm just saying that this could be the reason for this action, for this action. This is the consequence. So after telling you these events, after something came zahir apparent to me, I'm just sharing with you, and there's only one reason for this. So that we can share this event and experience, so we get taqwa. So our fear of Allah increases and our conviction increases. Otherwise I could forget this. Thousands of things a person forgets, his experiences. So I'm not here to show the light and noor and wilayat and piety. No. So this is the effect of practicing one sunnah. That's what I'm saying. So when I'm going to pray and I enter to the masjid, and a person standing there, And have you seen the topis, you know, the round topis? You know the Pathan cap, people with the Pathan topi, it's like round. It has like a board Pathan topi. And that person was wearing that topi, that cap, and he had a small trimmed beard, like half trimmed, half cut. And he's doing an action with speed. I'm going to the masjid to pray salah. I saw this scene in front of me. I'm telling you the reality. I thought, who's this person? What is he doing? He had such strength, power, that one, with one hand, he was grabbing three people, two from this side, he's jumping into the masjid. The same one person is working so hard, he's grabbing people, and I'm standing there, I'm watching him. What's this person doing? What's he doing? And he's doing something. Their faces are changing, their expressions are changing. And I know those people, their faces. I understood. To this extent, I can tell you that when I went, he went in the masjid with me and I did a trick. He thought he's stopping me going to the masjid. He was grabbing the people, dragging them. He tried to do a trick with me, but I went into the masjid straight away. So he came running after me and I saw in the masjid, Mufti Saab, Aslam Saab, he was there. And there was a Mulana Saab sitting there giving dars in the masjid. It was namaz time. I'm telling you the reality. This was the view in front of me, the scene. And there was another Mulana Saab, he was sitting there as well. And then he came and he stopped. And I couldn't understand who is this man, Khair, after in the masjid. Then the scene changed. And when I was going back home, then I saw that man, the same job, he was carrying on doing the same action. So what happened? I reached home and I was in front of the home and I'm watching that I stopped the car outside the house with speed. He came towards me to grab me. In the same way, in that same busyness, I saw, and I'll tell you the sunnah, the barakah, I read that dua. I forgot that dua. That, you know, when we enter into the home, you will all remember it, mashallah, the sunnah dua. So in a hurry, I was one or two like strides ahead. That dua didn't come in my mind in that game that was being played. And suddenly he came into the house with me. When he came into the house, then I remembered I didn't read the dua. When I reached the porch, then I recited the dua. Soon as I read the dua, then he couldn't come into the house and he stopped at the porch. He stopped there, I stopped there, sat down. I said, what's the problem? He said, I'm shaitan. Subhanallah. And then there was a discussion, lengthy discussion with shaitan. He couldn't come into the house. He tried his hardest to come into the house, into my home. So Allah Ta'ala showed, this is the power of this dua that we don't recite. This is the strength of that dua. And then I can't tell you the vision after that. It's a bit secretive. What happened? I saw these things with my eyes. That home that he went into after that. The house he went into. And I won't tell you that home. I won't tell you that man. What happened after that? That I pushed him away. Shabda, I said, you can't come to my house. That's it. His fuse blew. And he was locked out due to the dua, the sunnah dua. Soon as I knew the dua, and I didn't go into the house, straight away I recited the dua. And that man, the people, when you recite the dua, the barakah of the dua. So I took him there to that point and I opened the door quickly to save myself. And he came into the porch and he had tricks. He's playing and he's trying to get into my house. Straight away I recited the dua. The dua, the sunnah dua for entering the house. And that's it. He stopped there. He couldn't enter. So when he came out and he was not successful, I saw he went towards another house and somehow he knocked on the door and that person received him. He went into the house. Shaitan went into the house. Then I saw fitnas and fasad. What can I say to that person? That correct yourself, correct your situation, follow the sunnah, bring yourself into the sunnah. Otherwise, fitna will come into your life from your home. So this is, brothers, these are the events. These are the events we don't see. One sunnah, if we disregard it, tell me how many people disregard the sunnahs? What will be the situation in our homes? What will be the effects of our ibadat? That man, I saw his action, shaitan, the way he works, and he gets into the influence of people, into their minds, into their hearts. How he deviated people that day. When they're going into the masjid, he's trying to not let them enter into the masjid. What's the reason for showing this? That these people don't practice the sunnah. Somebody's face wasn't correct, something wasn't correct. In some way, those people were lazy and negligent on the sunnah. So shaitan attacked them. And shaitan has one weapon. Where a person disregards the sunnah, he attacks him. When you have the sunnah, he cannot attack you. Do you know what you're wearing? Due to this sunnah, your attire, how you are being protected from shaitan. You can't understand this. I can't go into the details. We'd be here for a long time. Due to your attire, you are protected from shaitan. Due to the sunnah attire, you are pretending. Look how many times we went to the house. This is the hadith. Rasulullah stated that I'm trying to grab you and pull you back from the fire. When you go into the house, Rasulullah said, Shaitan goes inside your house with you when you don't follow the sunnah. When you eat, Shaitan will eat with you. Then in the night, he will lie down with you. He will play with your children. He will create fitna. And he will bring his whole family in. The Shaitans will come in. This happens in our homes due to one mistake. When we didn't go into the house, we didn't follow the sunnah. We didn't recite the dua. Not just the dua, sunnah action we didn't implement. Not dua. Dua is different. You can recite a different dua. Whichever dua Rasulullah said from his blessed statement, if you recite that dua, then shaitan won't come in with you. As it's stated, inside us, there's this bacteria. And the antibiotics work in different ways. The doctors will tell you. Every antibiotic doesn't work in the same way. To kill off one bacteria, they're different antibiotics. And they work in different ways. Sometimes an antibiotic doesn't kill the bacteria, then another antibiotic is given and prescribed. In the same way, Rasulullah ﷺ, from his blessed statements, whichever dua came out, we have to use that dua for that purpose. That is the antibiotic. And it will kill off the shaitan at that time. So here you can recite all the verses of the Quran, there'll be no effect. But that small dua that Rasulullah has taught us, we have to recite that dua to get the effect. As I said to you, that at that time you can recite the Durood Sharif verse of the Quran, nothing will assist. But that time I knew at the Rawdah Mubarak, if I recite this dua, the doors open for me, the path open for me. So have the yaqeen that do that action, that specific amal, that same word that Rasulullah taught us specifically for that time. Don't make up your own deen and stories, okay, today I'll do this. Oh, this is Quran, I'll recite Quran. This is dua. Oh, this is also an amal, and I'll get rewards for this. No, make your aqeedah solid. The separate, specific guidance given for a certain event and time, that is the reward and the effect you'll get that time. No, I'll do this today. I don't feel like doing this today. Do the specific sunnah action for that specific time and day and moment and event. Then you'll get the benefit. Don't follow your desires. The instruction and guidance you're given by somebody who's learned or assisting you, guiding you. If Rasulullah said that on this dua you'll get this reward, then make it solid and recite it. From this dua I will get this reward. From this durood I will get this reward. Yes, there's many durood that you can recite. And on those durood you get different fazail and different rewards and different benefits. But those different things won't assist at that time. So for the sins where Rasulullah has told us the dua, that this is the sunnah method, then follow that sunnah method and leave the sin. That time. So where did success come from? The sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what should we do in our lives? Don't play games. I don't need to practice this, or what will I get at this, etc. No, practice all the sunnahs and you'll get all of the benefits in your house, in your life, in your body, in your appearance, on your face, everywhere, wherever you go. Inshallah, your life will change for the better. May Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. How easy it is for me to say. I said recite Durood Sharif and you recited Durood Sharif, but imagine what we attain by reciting Durood Sharif. Allahumma.